faith-filled finance. All major UK bank accounts. One app. Provision is built by Christians to help you steward what God's given you. Track your spending, saving, and giving in one place. Join the waitlist now at provision.money and get your first month free. That's provision.money.
Leadership File on Premier.
It's my joy to welcome you to the Leadership File, the show that aims to help you lead as Christ would have you lead, wherever he has placed you. I'm Andy Peck, your host, and whether you listen live on a Sunday or are one of the many thousands who catch up via the podcast, it's great that you can join us. The idea of business as mission has been gaining currency in recent decades as Christian leaders have realised that to bless a community, we don't just bring the message of Christ verbally, but also business enterprise, which creates opportunities for people, as well as becoming a vehicle for the gospel to be known. And one mission agency that's been promoting this is Operation Mobilisation, also known as OM, which under the leadership of its founder, George Vera, developed a reputation for taking the gospel to some of the toughest parts of the world. In 2010, the OM leadership decided to launch a concerted effort to bring business as mission to its work around the world. And to date, they have a network of 104 businesses in 12 countries with over $1.4 million invested. So great to welcome you, Mike, to the Leadership File.
Yeah, it's good to see you, Andy. Thanks for inviting me.
Your own background in business, in quotes, is actually in agriculture, I understand.
Well, I'm an agriculturalist by training, but really most of my life has been spent in missionary work and some development in Iran, India, Bangladesh, Nepal, China. But some of the experiences in development led me to believe that business and business people could be a major force for change, for good, in advance of the kingdom of Jesus.
So, I hinted in my introduction the idea of business as mission is gaining currency, but is that, do you think that's widespread in terms of acceptance of the approach?
I think that there's a widespread and growing acknowledgement that Jesus is Lord not only of the church and of prayer meetings and sort of the spiritual life, but also he's the Lord of business. And I believe that business people are called by God to actually do business. The business belongs to him. And so it is beginning to gain tread across the world, and I'm excited to see that. But in B4T, we decided to explore what it might mean for the world today, especially in terms of the Great Commission. What does business really mean for that? All of the people, although I'm not a business person, and I never claimed to be, all of the people that I work with are business people, and there are no missionaries involved except me. And when I first started this, started to explore this 8 years ago, I happened to meet up with a Chinese Malaysian businessman who was CEO of a billion-dollar company. He's a man called Raymond Yap. And he'd just given that up when we met. And I said, why did you do that? You know, peak of your profession, highly influential as a Christian. But we then began to sort of dream of a model, and we call this Business for Transformation, or B4T for short. And what we want to do is to see how business could actually be used in itself as the mission.
So can you unpack that for us a little bit?
Okay, so most businesses' mission attempts have been by bringing expatriates in to start businesses in other countries, and it employs people, and it, you know, the gospel is preached through the business. We decided to start at the opposite end, thinking that there are millions of believing business owners in countries where the gospel is not much preached or where there's great poverty, but they're often very small businesses. And so we decided to focus on them. At the other end of the scale, there are huge numbers of people in more developed countries who've got a lot of experience, skills, they've got investment money. And could we act as a sort of bridge between the two? Does that make sense to yeah. that we would sort of act like an Uber, if you like,
sure.
between and so we that's what we began to explore. And you know, we started off with the idea that the business is the mission. It's not when you get time off from your business, then you go and do ministry. The business itself is the ministry, and the business is designed in order to make a what we call a kingdom impact. And we talked there about a spiritual impact, and that could be, you know, that you employ people who have no knowledge of the gospel at all. It could mean that your business is really discipling people and growing them. So spiritual impact and economic impact, and here we're talking more about employment in many of these situations. People need a job, you know, and so that's a big deal. Social. So we talk about four types of impact, the spiritual, economic, social, and environmental. Social, you know, what is your business doing actually about employing orphans or widows or the trafficked or you know, releasing people from abject poverty? Or so in other words, this kingdom impact is absolutely vital to our thinking on each business that we work with.
So can you sort of share some stories, maybe some how things worked in the early days? Or
Well, let me tell you, you know, I mean, we've worked out, actually, it's not 140 businesses, it's 200 businesses now that we've worked with, and investments are probably $2 million into those businesses.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Beatrice in Ghana, a wife of a pastor. She needed extra money for her family, so she decided to go into business. Her husband wasn't earning enough to live on. So she went into a family business, which was baking, and she built these three great big mud ovens and, you know, on a very minimal cost. And but she decided off her own bat before we ever met her, you know, I would like, this is God's business. He's given it to me. I would like it to make an impact for the gospel and for people among people who are really suffering. So she looked around her, and there are hundreds of thousands of Muslim girls that come out of the north of Ghana into the big city of Kumasi. And she decided that she would employ them. So she's now baking 3,000 loaves of bread a day. She has employed 30 girls of these girls to bake the bread, and another 30 to actually sell the bread. And what she does is, you know, she says, there are many of them are living on the streets. So she says, look, come and just live in my bakery until you earn enough from your salary to be able to rent yourself, you know, accommodation. And that's exactly what's happened, you know. So now she's employing 60 girls. Many of them have now got their own accommodation, and in the last year or so, six of them have come to know Jesus as a result of working in her business and just watching her in her business. So we met her and said, hey, Beatrice, you've already got a transformational business. Why do you need us? And she said, you know what I need? I need a bit more training in business, and I also need some investment. And we said, why? And she said, well, I just want to double the size of my business. And so it was an investment of $4,000 or something like that. And we were absolutely delighted with this. And it was one of the seven businesses that we made ready for stakeholder investors to come and look at. Well, it just happened that a friend of ours in Canada called Sue had come into money, and she really wanted to use it for the right purposes. And I had told her about this, you know, about this investor trip that was coming with seven businesses to look at. I then told her about Beatrice, and she said, that one is mine. You know, nobody else is allowed to take that one.
right.
And so, you know, 2 weeks ago, she was in Ghana, and she met Beatrice face to face and was absolutely thrilled to be able to invest in her business and in two other businesses as well at the same time. And, you know, Elsie and I talked to her on Skype about a week ago, and she was in tears. She said, you know, this is it's just so exciting for me to be one of the pioneer investors in B4T investors into Ghana, yeah. And to be able to invest in Beatrice's business. Well, you know, that'll be paid back in 2 years or so, and then she will have doubled the size of her business and be ready for the next challenge. But we feel this is that. Every part of this is all, you know, Sue belongs to God as well. She loves Jesus, and she just wants to use what God has given her. Beatrice wants to use what God has given her. And so that's just one example. I mean, I've got 200
sure.
like that of different kinds, which I could go through if I have time, but probably not. Do you want me to go on?
That's fascinating. We're coming to to an ad break in a minute, Mike. But it's terrific to hear, like you say, everyone is winning in that scenario, and it's just, you know, in a sense you're enabling connections to take place, where you know people, you know, in the middle of Ghana who wouldn't know where to look.
No,
you've been enabling that to happen.
Yeah, it's exciting from both sides. You know, I mean It has totally revolutionized the lives of some of the people who go as investors. We call them stakeholders, yeah. On a trip. And, you know, they come away in tears to think that just this small amount of investment is really going to... I think that was about $4,000, $5,000 investment. And it'll all come back to Sue. And it'll come back to her, and then she gets a choice of what she wants to do with it. Does it go back and continue to be invested? And in a number of countries now, we've got a rolling pot of investment that just goes out, in and out, in and out. As soon as it comes in from a business, it goes into another one.
Fabulous. Well, you're listening to The Leadership Farm with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Mike Lythe. Mike is the Director of Business for Transformation at B4T. We'll be back just after this. Welcome back to The Leadership Farm with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Mike Lythe. He's the Director of Business for Transformation, B4T, a ministry that came under the auspices of Operation Mobilization. Mike has been a former missionary, was able to connect a number of business owners, business investors, and people who need the help of investment from... In some of the poorest countries in the world, and we're talking about the way that developed and some of the stories connected with that and some of the philosophy behind it. So Mike, your kind of role within all this is to be a kind of a broker to some degree?
A coordinator. We have a core team of eight, all of whom are very successful business people, or have been. And they get really excited about this, so they get involved. I sort of do bits of coordination, and I work in the real leadership of that alongside this guy, Raymond Yap, who's this multi-millionaire businessman, who's now giving his life to B4T and developing it. He's working mainly in Asia, and I'm focusing on Africa and Western Central Asia. But we work together. I mean, you know, it's a total virtual team. So we do everything over the internet.
Yeah, and so it's not a charity as such, in terms of you're not fundraising to support stuff, because you're just facilitating things. You don't. I think you've said on your website, none of you take a salary or have any financial gain from what you're doing.
No, none of us. There's a certain amount of money that's needed just to develop this.
Of course.
You know, right now we're in four countries in Africa, but we're being asked to go up into the Sahel and so on. So in order to do that, we need expenses money for effectively strategic development, but for nothing else. You know, we don't take any salary, It's exciting that the investors pay their own way. Everybody pays their own way, so it's absolutely minimal cost for massive gain.
Yeah, and do people, do mission agencies in countries know about you and bring folk to you, or
some places they do.
Yeah.
You've got to have a certain type of missionary who believes that this is a valid approach.
Yes.
And so in some places, they definitely invite us. They tell us, please come in, work alongside us, do your thing that you do, which is all business. And then sometimes they will actually get involved, for example, in spiritual mentorship of these business owners. I mean, our goal eventually is to have an ecosystem of people who love Jesus, who run businesses, and they get together and they begin to transform, whole communities. Because if you have one business, it makes an impact on, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 people. But if you have 50 of these businesses, your whole community just starts to change. And our ultimate goal is to build the Church of Jesus in these countries, so that they can do the work of fulfilling the Great Commission.
Yeah.
But they need to be strengthened, and business is the best way to do it, because the business owners retain their dignity. This is not handouts. They have to pay interest, but we spend an awful lot of time working through their business and making sure the business can repay loans and that sort of thing.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, a question based around the fact, Jesus said no one can serve two masters, God and money, and whether it was easy for business leaders to keep an eye on kingdom concerns. But I think what you're saying has kind of made that question a little redundant, because you're not saying that there's a separation between the word side of mission and the business side of mission. You see the two as being very much of a piece.
Absolutely. I think it's a false theology if we separate the sacred and the secular. God calls a businessman to business. He calls a person who's a preacher to preaching. And yet then not one is hugely greater than the other, but all of us are called to the great commission. And I think that there's an opening. I'm really thrilled by this, that there's an increase in understanding that Jesus is Lord not just of the church and all the stuff that goes on in there, but he's also the Lord of business. He's also the Lord of the family. What does that mean? He's also the Lord of the arts. And so I'm called, my vocation, my calling from God could be business, it could be in the arts, it could be into preaching. And I think that God calls all of us. We're none of us not called.
And some of the typical challenges you face, Mike, as you've been doing this work?
Probably our biggest challenge is the B4T developer. That's the person on the ground. This has to be a skilled business person with a real nose for business to say that's going to succeed, that's going to fail, who's willing to give 3 years to the course. Effectively, they have to be self-sustaining. They can be an expatriate or they can be a national. But at that level, this is not self-sustaining. I mean, down the road, we charge the businesses also a finder's fee and things like that, which generates a little bit of income. And if you've got enough businesses turning over, you can eventually pay a national salary, which I think is great. And we'd like to go that way. But finding these people is not easy. One of them is right now is Catherine. She was the head of DHL for Asia, got the challenge to come and be a B4T developer. She's now in Nepal. She's living on 6% of her previous salary and just slogging away, and to find the entrepreneur she had to go through 70 businesses before she found one that really fit the bill in terms of the spirituality of the owner, the fact that they could actually run a business, and that they were really committed to kingdom impact. So that person is absolutely crucial. And then actually the second challenge would be finding the right entrepreneurs. It took her 70 businesses to find the first one. On average, we reckon we reject 10 businesses before we pick the right one. We say that what we can do is we cannot help the deserving, but we can help the capable, and they will help the deserving. So we focus on small and medium-sized enterprises, which is the great missing middle in many, many developing countries. Well, there, you know, in a country like the UK, 95% of all businesses are small and medium-sized enterprises.
Yeah.
They employ 65% of the workforce. In poor country, and in a poorer countries, there is a huge number of very, very small businesses which barely keep people alive, and there's quite a lot of very large businesses, but there is nothing in the middle there, which is the vital driving force of economics. I mean, this is, I get this all out of these business guys. It's very exciting to work with them. But so we really focus on those small and medium-sized enterprises, the job makers rather than the job seekers. Mm.
And your interest in agriculture, that obviously there's some of this ministry can be through businesses that have a agricultural bent, no doubt.
Many of them are agricultural businesses. Have I got time for one more story?
Yes, please do, yes.
Okay. There's a group of farmers in Myanmar, 15 of them, and our B4T developer there, who is a remarkable character, a very experienced business person, he went in and he heard that they were depressed in this village, and he found that the church was falling down, because it was a Christian village. And he went in and did some research and found out that what had happened was that all of them had got into the hands of loan sharks. You know, you go to a loan shark if you have an emergency operation or if you have a wedding that's coming up and you can't pay for it, and then you're in their grip. And all of these farmers had to sell their rice as soon as they reaped it, which is the lowest possible price, of course, for rice. So he went in and worked with them on a business plan where they could actually have a rice bank. They could get out of the hands of loan sharks. And, you know, the total cost of that investment was around $26,000, I think, to do that. And, you know, 2 years later, they paid all that money back. The church is great. They're saving money together as a community for a children's health center. All of their houses are being rebuilt. Some of them are beginning to grow rice for seed, which is a higher price. And the whole village has just come alive, you know, just as a result of business. And that money's come back again, and now it's going out to other businesses. That's what I find really exciting.
Oh, it's fabulous. This is the kingdom of God in action very much, isn't it?
I think so. And what's exciting is we are not making them dependent. These guys have paid interest on their money. Hey, you know, they can stand up straight and retain their dignity.
Yeah. Mike, we could spend much more time, but sadly time has indeed defeated us. But there's enough time just to maybe share the website address and the kind of folk that you're looking to connect with.
Well, we're looking for B4T developers to give their lives. Is there anybody out there who's got 3 years that they could give, and they're an experienced business person, they're willing to work in very primitive conditions and work for nothing, or somehow support themselves? We need subject matter experts, you know, because increasingly you've got farming chickens, and if we could put them in touch with somebody who's got a lot more experience and wisdom that they could consult with. We're looking for marketers for products. I'm looking particularly for a hazelnut spread from Turkey, which could turn into a huge business down the road. People with wide business experience, women and men of vision who are ready to explore and commit themselves to how business could really be used, for example, all the way up through Africa and into Western Central Asia. Business mentors, trainers. So we're looking for a lot of different people. Yes, we're looking for investors as well. But we tell them, investors, don't please invest it. You know, your last penny in this, only if God has given you extra, because it's risky. But hey, it's worth it. The rewards are immense. One investor recently said to me, that is the best investment I have ever made in my life. So
that's fabulous to hear.
And contact through the website or directly to me. It's Mike, MIKE.LYTH at B4T.org. That's B4T is B4T.org.
Fabulous. Well, thank you, Mike, so much for being
here. Hey, Andy, thank you so much for reaching out. appreciate it.
Okay, you'll be listening to The Leadership File with me, Andy Peck, and joined this week by Mike Lyth again. Look forward to your company again next Sunday at 3:30. Thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to The Leadership File on Premier. Andy Peck serves as a tutor at CWR, a Christian charity whose courses and publications aim to apply God's word to everyday life. Contact him via email apeck@cwr.org.uk.